Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon show. An old chum popped in, Southend supporting goalkeeper, Terry Alderton, comedian, obviously.
He's a whirlwind.
He is. He keeps you on your toes. So Terry was very good. We also gave us a couple of impressions. A very good boxing story with a darker end than you'd imagine. Also, we were joined by
Callum Beattie.
Lovely guy. A singer-songwriter who's got a bit
funny
of a...
Funny I can remember now. I won't be able to remember next
no,
Monday.
No, that's right. Bit of a football-themed song. But anyway, let him explain it all. And we went back. It was the anniversary of the quickest own goal in football history, wasn't
it? Yeah, so we tried to track him down, but you'll hear what happened.
You'll hear what happened. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And it is great to have Jim Rosenthal joining us today, considering we only booked him yesterday, but it was great because he's going to be on Amazon Prime. We checked it out, didn't we? And said if you get Jim on today, you know he can be there within 9 hours and 7 minutes.
Because I wasn't here when he arrived, and he's been left in the porch.
Well, I know. Yeah, somebody put him in a wheelie bin, didn't they?
He was thrown
over a fence, which I thought was a bit much. But there was a card in the letterbox, so we knew where he was.
People who like Jim also liked.
Yeah, people like Jim also like Clive Tildesley, apparently. So maybe we should book him as well.
Brian, as Glenn calls him.
You got any other suggestions for what might happen to Jim when he goes to Amazon? Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Now, I was watching the Ireland game last night, and as I feared, you always do, really, that they're just not enough goals, and they play with such spirit, and they played some quite nice football, but the final ball just wasn't there. And they did. Matt Doherty, though, what a game he had. He's a terrific player, I think.
A man in demand, I think, isn't he?
Deserve to be on the sort of the wrong end of the losing side of a draw, if you like. And I thought he played really, really well. But Conor Hourihan is... I don't know how you pronounce his name, but neither did the commentators, because we had four, I swear, because I counted them.
Yeah.
We had Conor Hourihan, Conor Horahan, Conor Harahan, and Conor Howrahan. For goodness sake.
The four Connors. They were brilliant.
Four Connors.
They were good,
Yeah, exactly.
I would have gone with Hourihan.
I would think Hourihan, but, you know.
It's a good word, that, Hourihan.
It is. It's
it was good
player
saying.
As well, yeah. And Ender...
Have a go at home, go on.
I was thinking about Ender Stevens.
Ender Stevens. Yeah.
I was thinking he should go into business with darts player John Part. Their first company, of course, will be called Ender Part One. Thank you very much.
That's very good. It's my birthday spread. Obviously, he's back.
Well, it isn't, but there we go. Yeah. Thomas Delaney had to go off for Denmark. I was thinking, blimey, surely he should have been playing for Ireland. Jack Charlton would have nabbed him, wouldn't he? What an Irish name that is for a Danish fellow. Yeah. Thomas Delaney. You couldn't be called more Irish, could you? Really?
No, that's very true.
And Martin Kellner spotted a very good thing. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter last night. For a story from the Brighton and Hove News. That thing where they sort of give local prominence to a story that isn't local. So this is about Wrighty going into the jungle. And the headline was, former Brighton and Hove reserve trialist goes into celebrity jungle.
Blimey. Trying to take ownership of it.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't
and then
it?
The old bits, in 1984, he had a trial at Brighton. A young footballer walked from Hove's, they get the idea, honestly. They even said what road he would have walked down. It's ridiculous.
That was Christian Eriksen pulling out 70-30 tackles his way, or
no.
Did he play all right?
Not really. Yes, I mean, all right, you know, and he was probably their most creative player. I didn't think Denmark... It was difficult to judge because they didn't need to do more than draw. and they got a goal. They always had a goal in them, but I didn't think they looked that great going forward. I'm not sure you know, they'll threaten anybody.
That's the danger for Wales, but you feel like they've got enough firepower. You know, Bowen, Ramsey playing for the first time in ages together. James, you kind of feel that they're going to have enough tonight to get the win, don't you?
So we'll be coming back to that later. Especially with they've got some good players there. We'll watch them on Saturday. They're not bad. Shane Warne, they're making a film of his life.
Are they really?
Yeah, in Hollywood, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. And he wants Russell Crowe or Chris Hemsworth to play. Chris Hemsworth? Yeah. God, that's like Peter Crouch playing me. That's ridiculous. He's like
the Andy Jacobs story.
Well, he's a bit of a hunk, isn't he, Chris Hemsworth?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Shane in his day, he was...
he was always...
I mean, Russell Crowe's...
Shane's a wonderful... He's the Russell best Crowe's too old. Time,
he's too old now, isn't he, Russell Crowe?
Well, I would have said he is, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel right, does it?
Not to me, but, you know.
Any more suggestions you should play Shane? Feel free.
Yeah. Okay, then, I will.
Good.
Now, the great news for the producer.
Oh, yeah.
Today's fact of the day comes from Torquay United. It's in the Daily Star. There's a new thing they've got, fact of the day. You'll remember this.
The Daily Star's fact of the day.
Torquay United's Pat Cruz scored the fastest own goal in pro football just 6 seconds after the kickoff against Cambridge in 1977. Did you know that?
Pat Crew? No, they're so solid in the dressing room. They wouldn't have been in 1976, would he? What was the nature of the goal? Do you know, I mean, 6 seconds is quick, isn't it?
I wasn't there.
It was just one of those where it's tapped to him and he absolutely drills it.
Maybe it was played back to him and, yeah, he sliced it backwards.
Oh, sorry, was this an own goal?
Own goal.
Oh, okay.
Fastest own goal in professional football. So 6 seconds after the kickoff, if you were there.
Yeah.
Against Cambridge in 1977.
Talk us through it. I would imagine it was something like that, wouldn't it? It would have been played straight back to him.
And a bit of a slicer.
Hit a divot.
And
up it went. Okay, well, kind of Pat Cruz's 6 second goal. Let's find out a bit more about that. Talksport.com, text 81089.
That'll find its way to the national obsession tomorrow, I guarantee.
Tweet TSH&J. They've always been a cursed club, haven't they, really?
Have you noticed? It's funny. Everybody's drawing up their squads for Euros and the team for Euros. Everybody seems to have forgotten about Ross Barkley. He was picked for the last squad and he was injured. He started loads of games in qualifying. He scored goals.
He's not made anybody's teams.
It's like they've completely forgotten. He wasn't in the last thing, so we'll just forget about him completely, which I think is a bit harsh.
Would you have him starting then?
Well, not necessarily, but, you know, I mean, I think, I think he's having a good season. So there we go. As an early adopter, following an article in The Sun, I've joined TikTok. I don't even know what it is.
What does it involve?
You take these short videos and you put them out there and people sort of vote on them or like them or don't like them.
Okay.
If you want to follow me there, I'm John_Arlott78.
There's no danger, of course, John being on TikTok himself, sadly, isn't there?
No, I'm afraid not.
So there'll be no crossover. My latest film video. It's a marvellous video of me. Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it, John Arlott?
It'd be good, yeah.
So what videos have you put up then? What can people look forward to enjoying?
Well, I put one of the Brains Trust in the meeting, so I put one of there, that's up there.
Yeah.
But one of just a bowl in front of me was a test, really. And one of my latest paintings. Yes.
It could be some great breakthrough material there for you,
Andy. So, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Nothing hurts like you. And I've tried getting by, getting high, you know I try, but...
That is Nothing Hurts Like You. Callum is with us in the studio. Good afternoon, Callum. Good to see you.
How are you doing? Good afternoon.
Yes. Is this the new single?
It is the new single that's out at the minute called Nothing Hurts Like You. A song about heartbreak. Nothing too familiar going there. But it's pretty exciting times. I've got my album on pre-order at the minute. It was called People Like Us. And here we are.
When you write a song like that, it's about heartache. Is it from a personal experience or is it just a general thing that you know will apply the universally?
No, I think it's got to be personal, otherwise it won't translate, you know. But it's hard to write those songs, you know. For example, my next single I'm going to release is called Some Heroes Don't Wear Capes. And that's about...
That's good.
Yeah. It's all about my dad bringing me up on his own and how he... As a hero in my eyes, you know, And those are the sort of songs you need to go really deep and try and find something to put, you know, really put your heart on your sleeve.
It's interesting, you write your own stuff, but there are plenty of people in the industry who have songs written for them. They'll kind of, they'll buy an off-the-shelf love song or it'll be suggested they do that. I mean, it sounds like that would be difficult for you to do.
Well, yeah, to a degree. I mean, look, I wouldn't mind being in a band and writing with other musicians. I'm sure it would help quite a lot. There's an interesting fact, actually. The top 100 best-selling songs in the US last year had, I think it was an average of about 9 or 10 writers on each song.
Really?
Now, I don't know how that one works.
No.
I couldn't think anything worse than sitting in a room trying to write a song with 10 people.
That's a big collaboration, isn't it?
It's a big collab.
I mean, 2 or 3 maybe, but not 10.
Yeah,
fighting over keeping a word in or not.
Absolutely. I don't mind, you know, writing with a couple of my friends and stuff, but I think 10's a bit excessive.
Yeah. So what's your story then? What kind of got you into
music? Well, yeah. I guess it was my dad bringing me up on his own, and you know, every night after school he would put CFAX on, check the football scores, and then crack a bottle of Red open and play me all these amazing records, and I just became obsessed with it, and I guess it became my escapism, and I kind of use it as a sort of therapeutic way of dealing with life, you know.
And what sort of stuff was he playing you? What was you kind of soaking up?
It was the Rod Stewarts, the Neil Diamonds and Elton Johns. He chucked in a wee bit of Jethro Tull. I don't know if you remember that.
So do you have a little section that says where you stand on one foot and play the flute?
I love the way you're asking if we know about Jethro. Remember Jethro? It's very sweet of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't quite remember them. They would be a bit
saw them live once. And, did you? Yeah, they started off, Ian Anderson, who was there, lead singer, he was just sitting on the edge of the stage, just playing
the flute,
playing the flute, and then suddenly the band were there, but you didn't realise they were there, and they suddenly struck up. I've never
frightened you, did they? Your poor old soul.
I know. Well, I wasn't old then. Now I wouldn't have survived.
No. It's funny. I was reading a bit. I listened. We're going to play Easter Road because it has no football connotations, but it does. Let's play. Can we play a little bit of that now? Play a little bit of one of your songs.
There's a headline stand on the corner of Easter Road about a football fan who was barely a man, and one day he never came home. So we all gathered round at the heart of the town, showing the world.
I really liked it. I was playing it earlier on. It's a great song. It reminded me, funnily enough, I was just reading a little biog on you, and you talked about music you grew up listening to, Super Furries, Fleetwood Mac, and The Verve, and I thought that was very Verve-like, that song. I think that one has got that feel.
You'd be interested to know that the guitarist for The Verve, Nick McCabe, played on that song.
So he obviously felt that similarity as well. He did have a bit of a Richard Ashcroft sort of vocal.
I guess I like Richard Ashcroft as well. To be honest, it's not. I'd rather Richard Ashcroft than Justin Bieber. Yeah. I'll take that. Yeah.
It's called Easter Road, but you're not a Hibs fan, are you?
No, I'm a Scotland fan through and through.
That's very quite political, very diplomatic of you. Yeah. Don't let on the team you support. So maybe the other half of Glasgow or Edinburgh don't like what you do.
Do you know what? My mum's side are all Celtic fans, and my dad's side's all Rangers fans.
Okay.
So every time the Old Firm was on, I'd have to dive from one side of the bar to the other to say hello. So I kind of just stuck in the middle, go with Scotland.
Yeah.
But and Liverpool as well, obviously, because I lived there for a wee bit, but. Yeah, Easter Road, going back to that, it's a song I wrote about growing up in that area and all the sort of the working class people of Leith. And I just thought, you know, it's a hearty song and the type of songs I love to write, you know.
Yeah, hearty song.
That's an interesting word to use.
It was funny because I checked out, I put it in your song into Google, and one of the things that came up with it was a Hibs forum. And they said, I really like the song, but I wish there was a bit more Hibs in it. And they haven't quite got it. So I wonder if you do a kind of very Hibs, find something that rhymes with Maranello or Ormond, get some of the legends in there. That might be quite nice.
I'm friends with Willie Ormond, you know, the old
one of the legends of the club.
So we used to play football together. in a place called Musselburgh. We played for a team called Musselburgh Windsor.
Right.
And we and every time Kenny Miller and people like that used to live round about, and every time we seen them walking through the park, he would stop in the middle of the game and just start doing keepy uppies to try and get try and get signed to some sort to Hibs.
And they caught, you said he's called Willie as well.
He's called Willie,
down the line. No pressure there.
And he's tiny as well. He was a great wee footballer.
Wow.
Musselburgh, of course, where the racing is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Racing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a thing here on Fred Perry's Subculture. They've done an interview with
That's
you.
That's right, yeah, yeah. I'm just reading this. Yeah. Yeah. This is where I found out about this little Verve link. Yeah,
I like I like your style. It says that you like the Teddy Boy style, and that leather jacket is just... I don't know where you got that from. That is pure Ted, isn't it?
Do you know what? I do a lot of charity shopping. And I tend to sort of stick around Covent Garden and places where people are going to put good stuff in.
That's a good idea.
And try and pick it up for a fiver. Yeah. It's very Scottish.
It is.
So they're quite different. Listening to some of the tracks, it's quite sort of a broad style, really. If you kind of pinpoint your style, what would it be, would you say?
I'd say it's definitely anthemic. Pop, I guess, but when I say pop, I'm talking about the Beatles, you know, not Little Mix. As much as I love Little Mix,
so diplomatic.
For obvious reasons.
Great diplomat he is. He's coming fantastic.
Well, I've been told to be very careful when I came in here today.
half of Little Mix support Hearts and half of them support
Beatles. That's right. They're going to do that song. That one, The Dad's Army. We are the boys from the Leith San Siro. I had a friend who was a Hibs fan, and we once got thrown out of a restaurant because he'd had a few, and he sang that song to the Dad's Army theme.
Really?
Who do you think you were kidding, Mr. Jeffries? He sang it at such a point we were thrown. It gets a bit sweary.
That's brilliant.
And we are the boys. I thought, I'll hear that one more time. And sure enough, they had heard it one more time, and we were thrown out of the restaurant.
Oh dear,
you know who you are, Mark. So, so what's coming up gig wise? Are you
gig wise
kind of playing out? You going out with a band or are you playing solo?
I'm going to go on tour next year. So I'm coming to London, Manchester. We're doing Glasgow, King Tut's, and Edinburgh, and I think we're going to Aberdeen again. So that's in March and April. And you can check out my gig tickets, obviously, on my Facebook and my Instagram at Callum Beattie. And that's me plugging myself.
That's good. Yeah, we'll go for it. That's what you're
pretty fast.
The venue
good.
In Dundee is called the Hunter S. Thompson, which is interesting.
Right, it's a brand new venue, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
hopefully we're going to make some history that night. That'd be good.
Take it the pub didn't come before the Gonzo writer. I take it. It'd be too much of a coincidence, wouldn't it? I would say. So what about a song for Scotland then? You haven't done one for Hibs. Would you do a Scotland song?
If they
song?
Get there through the playoffs.
Yeah, because Rod did one, didn't he, of course?
Aye.
Rod did a Scotland football song.
Yeah, I do need to write a Scotland song, you know. I was kind of hoping that... Easter Road might be it, but obviously it's not quite caught on.
Well, for the other fans won't buy it, as you've diplomatically. This is the thing, you know. Yeah. You don't want to wipe out half of the city.
Well, that's it. The weird thing is, the Hearts fan was the main character in the video, actually. But he was brought up in Easter Road, so I thought that suits me, right? Diplomatics.
So, where can we find you on social media and stuff, Callum?
You can follow me on Callum Beattie Official.
Yep.
And I put all sorts of crazy stuff up there, so. Do beware before you go on.
Okay.
And Scotland are playing Kazakhstan tonight, so
they are.
That could get interesting.
It's all about the playoff, as Andy says, though, now. And it's all come down to that. But, you know, it'd be great if they did it. It'd be brilliant if we had a kind of everybody got
through. That's what I wanted.
It would be great.
It'd be sensational.
But, I mean, well, actually, it's funny. I was playing a gig with... I wasn't playing with them, though. I went to the Rod Stewart gig in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And I bumped into... Gordon Strachan there, and I think we were qualifying. It was the World Cup or the Championships or something, and we had just drawn away to Georgia, and I think that was our chances blown. And I asked him, I says, Gordon, I says, do you think we'll get through? He says, well, no chance, well, blow it. We still had three games to go.
Oh, no. Oh, well, at least he was honest. Good to meet you, Callum.
Aye, and you.
Continue success, yeah, and all the very best. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby here, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Comedian Terry Alderton, while Ross was reading the sport there.
Debatable.
Terry said, I wanted to tickle him. Yeah. And we thought, as it's sport, you could probably get away with tickling him because, you know, it's not going to be some horrendous news story you're doing the tickling on.
Couldn't do a tickle on the news.
You couldn't do a tickle
on the news. That's for ISIS.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do.
I'll be doing that.
And it's Amelia reads the news, so you get yourself in trouble.
Also, for people that don't know about the ins and outs of radio, there are certain rules to mucking about.
Well, I've never seen the tickling rule. I think it's one of the unwritten rules of broadcasting. I've not seen it in any handbook. Don't tickle the newsreader.
Mr. Tickle. That handbook. Yeah. You know what? That would be banned now, wouldn't it, Mr. Tickle?
I should take a feather duster to Mike Bovell at times.
He probably would be, Terry. I've not thought about that.
Well, you know the other one.
Mr. Tickle.
I mean, we don't want to go down this route.
And the fellow with the long arms.
We'll stay on this route, but we won't go down there.
No, we won't go down that route.
Don't have to push that button and go dump it. Not the dump it.
Some of the Mr. Men.
The Mr. Men. But there was another one as well who got away with, you know. I mean, what about? I mean, you know, he disguised it as a bird in his arm. He had anemia, didn't he? And, you know, he was great with everyone, but no one said anything, did they?
No, that's true. Yeah, well, he can't come after you, Terry.
He's fairly safe around.
The emu might, but.
Anyway, that was weird. Colin Ellis. There you go. He's a painter and decorator, though.
Yeah.
He's mid painting. Yeah. I've said his name. He doesn't know I'm on the show. Listens to it all the time. He's now just done his cornicing.
He's probably just gone. Yeah, that's he's gone over.
True.
He's gone up the old skirting board. Oh no! He's going to have to
run
down again.
You've ruined Colin's day.
Going to have to resand it. Sorry, Colin.
Going to have to resand it.
You're going to tell us about a gig you're doing. Laugh Till It Hurts, which I think sounds quite dangerous.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Well, it's not a charity that supports people that have laughed too much.
No. I've done a lot of these. Jez runs these. Old Jez, who's out there now, and he's out there in the kennel. Look at him. Jez puts these on, and he's brilliant. And he always says afterwards, he's always lovely. He sends you a lovely text saying, thank you so much for doing it. You're going, mate, you've done all the work. I'll just turn up and have people go, oh, you're really good. Well, not me, maybe, but it's good, and it's a good bill because this is where I've got to go all normal now. Simon Brodkin's on, and remember he was the chavvy kid, wasn't he?
Lee Nelson.
He's now himself, of course. He's going out as himself.
And then we got Sindhu V, and then we got Patrick Monaghan's. I didn't realise that. Well, we'll just put him on at the end and turn the light off and walk out because he'll go on and on and on and on. But bless him, he's brilliant. Glenn Moore's on, Reese James, it's good. Phil Nichols on, special guest, don't know who that is, and Rich Wilson, and that's it. And it'll be on at the 8th of January at 7:30.
And it's for Crisis, who do brilliant work all year round, especially at Christmas, of course.
Yes. But so it'll be post Christmas.
Andy Smart spends
a week.
Andy
Crisis.
Yeah, because you did a festival with him in Ireland, didn't you?
Was it recently?
Yeah,
We didn't cross paths because what happens is you fly in, fly out, fly in, fly out.
I thought you were in a picture. You were in a picture with him. I think drink was taken by the sound of it, so I can understand how you may have forgotten.
Yes,
you saw
Andy
him.
Smart. Yeah, of course. I'm going. Yeah, me and Smarty Pants. You know what I was thinking of, don't you? I was thinking of flipping Andy. What's his name with a bald head?
Andy Parsons.
I'm 50 next year. I've got to that granddad age, haven't I? Yeah, all right, granddad.
Tell us about this. I'm just looking at your website. I don't know how new this film is. I didn't know anything about it. Comic, it's called. An exciting new documentary explores the interface between creative expression and mental health, featuring yourself. That sounds really interesting.
Well, what happened was my friend Sam Callis, who I met on London's Burning, is an actor, a great actor, Sam. He was Sergeant Callum Stone in The Bill. He said, why don't I get my iPhone and follow you around? And I went, all right, okay. So it's a lot of me in my pants, really. But yeah, it's because that's what you do as a comic. I mean, I think, I don't know, but you get up in the morning and you go, well, I'm not doing anything. I'll just keep my pants on. So I just sit around the house. Postman knocks on the door. Letter for you, Terry. Postman, thank you. He's always in his pants. And funny enough, I've had 5 postmen, right? And I've argued with my wife many times. She's going, you know, I said to her, look, you know, some people do know I am. I said, take, there were 5 postmen. They all know who I am.
You work your way through them. Why you had such a turnover?
I don't know. Maybe I'm killing
him. I'm not going back to him. I can't look at him in his pants again.
No, that's it, because of my pants. But I said, you know, the postman know my name. And she went, have a look at the front of the envelope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. So that's where I'm
so
at.
So it's a film about kind of you as a comedian and your life. Yeah. And, okay, well, that's good. So where can we find it?
I'll send you. There's a link. I'll send you a link.
Okay. I don't, not us personally.
That doesn't help the listeners, does it? Really?
We can watch it.
I know there are listeners out there. unless this is just a state of my mind.
A couple, you can send them a link.
No, I will send everybody a link who wants it.
Okay.
I will put it. In fact, we'll put it on the website because it sadly, actually, we should do it testament because Ben, Sam's brother, sadly died out of nowhere. Recently, and he was a co-producer, same age as me as well.
Wow!
And I talked to Sammy about that because we could put it out in honor of his brother. Actually,
people would love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stand watching it because I find it very cringy. Yeah. It's horrible. don't watch it.
5-star horrible. Terry Alderson, bloke who's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
What it says on the poster.
Bloke who's in it?
I've seen you many, many times, but I noticed the last time I saw you, and I see from the photos. You've adopted, I think it's recent-ish, this eye makeup thing. What's all that about?
I'll tell you what happened.
When have you done that?
I started to wear an eye makeup because various reasons, but the one was particularly for a joke. So, and a friend of mine, Sarah, she's a makeup artist, does loads of films and stuff. She's even going to wear eyeliner, you know, as a man. You've got to wear eyeliner. So then I did this kind of Cleopatra thing. And the joke was...
Yeah.
Which I did on Life in the Apollo, but they cut it. So I just stand on the Life in the Apollo set. If you go online, you can see it. Yeah. Doing the whole thing, and you're just going, I was just wearing eyeliner. But there was a joke behind it.
Oh, okay.
And the joke behind it was my wife spends so much money in boots.
Yeah.
Right? But she always goes to me, I'll get the points. And I go, what am I going to buy? Yeah. Eyeliner? Right. So that was a joke. Yeah. But it then just continued.
So that's not good, is it? So the whole point of the gag, while you've got it on.
I do the whole thing. So people are going, it's a bit random. So anyway, I remember a time being in at the Pleasance Courtyard in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Festival. And I saw the great, 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 one of my favourite all-time comedians, Rich Hall, right?
Mm.
And he's got Gary, shouting across the going, Terry. And I'm going, what? He goes, have you seen Kirsten's gig? Where's Matt Kirsten's gig? And I'm going, I think it's moved to another pub. He went, oh, and he's coming towards me. He gets up to me and he goes, is it any good? And I went, yeah, it's all right. It's, you know, it's okay. And he went, And he looked at me and he went, no, you're wearing eyeliner. And I went, yeah. And he went, that's how it starts.
You know you're wearing eyeliner. Yeah, you did it by accident.
You know you're wearing eyeliner.
So, Terry, Sol Campbell is the new Southend United.
I knew you'd get to that.
Southend United manager. And he's had a relatively tricky start. But the club have had a tough old season. Oh, so he's had a couple of weeks off. He's had a couple of weeks with the boys now to work them physically and tactically. Mm. So what do you think? What have you made of it so far? And what are your expectations?
Well, you know, it's one of those, and I'm sure as a fan, I'm being backed by other fans, it's quite annoying when you pay your money to sit down and watch a team, because that's what we do, right? Mm. That's the first thing that we do. We can't help thinking about our pocket, right? Because we do, right? But then, of course, we're loyal and we go. But this is the worst I've ever seen it. Mm. And I'm sure there is no sportsman in any sport or sportswoman that walks out and deliberately goes, right, I'm going to be rubbish today. So the fact that, you know, there's come a point where something isn't right, is there? Because obviously you don't know, you don't go down there, but it's appalling.
Right.
They're supposed to be, you know, League Three, you know, Division One, whatever it is. So you think there'd be at least something there. You go out with some sort of passion. If they're losing, but they're good, trying, you know, you go, oh, fine, but it's just... it's a mess. So I think what he's done, he's kind of looked at players that, if you look, there's a lot of players that aren't in their positions that you would expect them to be playing in.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the centre midfielder's playing centre back now. So he's obviously, there might be some method in some sort of madness, or he's just waiting for January. But this isn't Liverpool.
No.
You know, this is bless our hearts, this is Southend. So it's not like we're waiting to get in a £17 million player.
No, let's see.
I've just noticed something from your website very quickly.
Yeah, go on.
I think you need to update it a bit. It says here, it's all the people you've worked
with. I'm glad I came on.
He has recently worked with Joan Rivers.
Oh, yeah, that's got to change, isn't it?
Well, I'd say it has.
Well, that's a bit dark if it's true.
There's something you need to know.
Yeah. That's quite a few years ago, Joan left us.
Yeah, that was amazing. Listening, as Alan would say. This gig, Laugh Till It Hurts in Aid of Crisis, Bloomsbury Theatre on the 8th of January next year.
Yes.
Tickets. £15, £12.50 concessions, 7:30 start. A lot of great comedians on
Simon
the bill.
Brocken.
So go and see them, and say it all in aid of Crisis, doing a lot of brilliant
work.
I've
got a feeling you're going to cut me off now.
Since we last saw you,
the producer's going out
there. Very quickly, since we last saw you, Nigel Benn, of course, has been in the news.
He
talked about it, but he got injured and he couldn't. But I mean, I did immediately think of you because I thought you would have been a man in demand.
There was a good little story. I've done a few things with Nigel, and one particularly we did at the Prince Regent in Essex. The wonderful, beautiful Colin McMillan.
Mm.
World needs more. He does these charity nights, and I usually sort of host him with the boxers, right?
Yeah.
We have various people on. But anyway, Nigel was on, and I'm asking the questions, and there's this thing, and Nigel gives me a little jab in the kidney, and I'm thinking, hold on, mate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a boxer here.
Yeah.
And then he's like this and what have you. And I think it's on Facebook. Not that I do Facebook, but I think it's on there. You can see it. I just suddenly went, all right, I'm not having any more of this. So I start doing him, because he starts talking about, you know, Eubank and stuff. I do a press conference. I said, wonder how that press conference went. You know, and I said, you're there doing that thing when you're talking and you slowly run out of breath, because you would get to the point where he's got no breath left, didn't he? Like, then they've got Chris Eubank saying to him, you know, and listen, I would say to the man, Nigel Benn, and he's going, listen, mate, you go, because you're ugly and all this stuff. Anyway, I then break off, and I know this has become a whole show now.
Yeah.
You know, I've crossed the other side. I'll go in that ring. I'll be Chris. Yeah, I'm coming out to fight you now and all this. A big round of applause, all that kind of thing. Thanks very much. That's very nice and kind. And Nigel comes up to me because he sat down at this point and he puts his arm around me and he gives me a big cuddle, and in my ear he goes, don't you ever do that again. If you do that again, I will break you. And then we both turn around with a big smile.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Lovely upbeat story to end.
It was always nice.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, you found something in today's Star, and you read it to us because it was Talkie related and meant something to the producer. So remind us of what it said.
Talkie's Pat Cruz scored the fastest own goal in pro football just 6 seconds after the kickoff against Cambridge in 1977. I'd never heard of this.
6 seconds?
6 seconds. And then we started speculating. There's no footage of it, obviously.
Yeah.
How did it happen? What happened? Etc.
Let's find out. We tried to find Pat, but at very short notice, that wasn't easy. But Paul, he witnessed it, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, boys.
So, you were there on that fateful day.
I was.
Yeah.
I was indeed. A very long time ago. My recollection, 76, 77 season?
77, I'm not sure. Yeah. 77.
Oh, you got the details, yeah. Mm. It was Cambridge, I think, kicked off. Lumped it forward in old Division 4 style, and Pat Cruz headed it back to keeper Terry Lee, who missed it at his near post. In, simple as that. That's how it was.
So they've just stuck it, they've put it straight into that in the opposition's area.
Mixer, as they say.
And was it a kind of cushion header he tried to put back from the keeper? Was it his fault? Was it Pat's fault, or was it the keeper's fault?
No. It was if you have a forcibly cushioned header, that's what it was. Back keeper just missed it, you know, and it was in the near post. Goal.
Oh, dear.
You can't blame Pat for that.
Pat turned around and cannoned it into the top corner.
No, poor old Pat. He's listening in 1977. He's made a mistake now all these years later by bringing it up.
He may get some calls on drive, slagging him off. Was he all that?
So how come you were there? It says on our screen you're a Chelsea fan, but you...
I, Talking to my local team, I live in Newton Harbour, which is only 5 or 6 miles away. Big Chelsea fan. Long time listener. I actually share most of your views on Chelsea, Andy. Not some of your radical ones, but
it's been quite a few.
Most of your views I do share.
What about when he said we'll be in the blue square within 5 years? He said that a few. I mean, calling it a blue square dates it a bit, but that was one of Andy's.
That was only when Abramovich came in, and I thought it's all going to go horribly wrong.
It's going to go wrong.
You did say that, and I didn't agree with you.
We didn't.
So just finally, Paul, was there much fallout? Did Pat and the goalkeeper have a bit of a row? Can you remember what occurred afterwards?
That actual talkie team from that era was my favourite actual team. They were full of characters, and they would have had a right barney after the game, but had a few beers and got over it. Phil Sandercock, another player, scored an own goal in the same game. It was two own goals in the game.
What about that? Yeah. Players don't have names like that anymore, do they?
Not really, thank goodness.
Sandercock.
That was a very good player, very, very good player. Initially on loan from Leicester and then purchased for what was quite a sizable fee back in the day, I think.
Brilliant. Thanks for telling us all about it, Paul.
That was brilliant.
Top man.
There's more about talkie than you do, John. It's quite impressive, to be really honest.
Good knowledge there from Paul, the Chelsea fan talkie. Now, DJs, Andy, you know, you a fan of the superstar DJ?
I like Jeff Peters.
Well, DJ, well, I can't say what it is. I can't say his DJ name. But you've got Don Diablo, Afro Jack, haven't you? You've got Marshmello. They all have names like that. They have quite a quite exotic name. So I was quite surprised to see that the DJ playing the music at Gerard Piqué's New Look Davis Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Has not gone down that route. He's DJ Alan Walker.
Really? Sounds like a bloke who played for Kent or something.
From the Pavilion End. DJ Alan Walker. Yeah, so, you know, all these people, they've gone out and they've come up with these fantastic names and they've really put the effort in. And they've come up with something different and exotic, haven't they?
Yeah.
But not DJ Alan Walker.
Not really trying, really.
I'm sure he's very good.
Yeah, no,
Dead Mouse, but again, that's not his real name, believe it or not. Dead Mouse,
isn't it?
No, not his real name.
No, it wouldn't be, would it? Isn't it?
And he's not Alan Dead Mouse.
Alan Dead Mouse.
Now,
here's one for Nigel Botherway.
Oh, yeah.
Maine lobster fisherman Rendor hauled in the biggest. Rendor, that's his name. Hauled in the biggest and
one
most.
One more night without sleeping. Let's all have a song for Rendor.
Behind the Rendor.
That's it. All together. Yeah. Go on then.
Hauled in the biggest and most surprising catch of his life, 5 miles off the Harrington.
Was it a lobster?
No.
Okay.
It was a live deer. That'll serve you right.
A live deer. We'll have another guess. I never would have done
that. A live deer. I don't know what bait he used.
Luncheon meat, they like the live deer. But, I mean, really.
It's a real Johnny Nash there, isn't it? What was a live deer doing 5 miles off the, you're going to say breaststroke? Yeah.
Butterfly, I think they favour. If you watch the latest Attenborough series.
But oh, no, yes.
I have seen. They do go a long way out, don't they? They can. Some of them can. They can go quite a long way out. Yeah, the deer.
Theory. Yeah. That's rubbish.
Couldn't touch the bottom, obviously, could it? Where was it in the sea?
Paul Hawksby is serious deer swimming. Now, yes, they can go quite a long way out.
They can actually go quite. Yeah, if they've got the water wings on. if they've got the front, just the front ones. They're all right, just the front ones, yeah.
Talking of the deer, I bought this brilliant thing off. You know, I'm always talking about the things I buy off Instagram.
Yeah.
This is a thing that you inflate it. It's a sort of inflatable deer antlers.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't you, was it? Really was a deer? Wasn't you he caught?
No, it wasn't. Okay. And you blow up the sort of quoits, you know, not the pork quoits, but the, you know, like things you'd throw on a deck.
Oh, okay. So you put, it's like a Christmas game.
It's a Christmas game.
So you put the antlers on, and like your grandkids, they'll throw them.
Yeah,
like,
they'll love hoops, that. They'll be throwing them in my face, but you know, like that.
Are they like quite hard plastic?
No, they're inflatable. Oh, they're inflatable. Yeah.
They've got some sharp edges, though, Andy. It's a health and safety nightmare.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
Once the old grandson starts to throw it with a bit of force,
well, he might.
You be careful. You might get welts.
Welts.
Now, Glenn Hoddle, you noticed something in the commentary with Glenn Hoddle and Clive Tilsley in the England game.
I mentioned it yesterday.
At the weekend. Yeah, and you thought at one point, what happened, Andy?
That Glenn had called Clive Brian, and I thought, well, there's a few reasons for that. Either he's got his name wrong, or it's a generic sort of commentary thing. All right, Brian, you know, like a commentary thing. I don't know why.
Well, why would you do that?
Or it's Clive's nickname. you know, because of Brian Tilsdale. It's quite the, spelt the same way, but it sounds the same thing. The former star of, well, star, a character in Coronation
Street.
Yeah,
Brian, yeah. Al Bryan.
Played
yeah,
that's right. Quinton.
Christopher Quinton, that's right, yeah. So do you want to hear the bit of commentary?
Yeah,
see if
let's
you
hear
were
it.
Right. Okay, yeah. The guys have tracked it down. This was the bit of commentary. Did he call him Brian?
Terrific finish, it really is. Just wraps his foot round it, doesn't have to hit it hard, just guides it into that bottom corner. And he has scored from the bench now, Brian.
Is he calling Brian or not?
He has scored from the...
He has scored from the bench now, Brian.
Lion, it sounds like. I don't know why.
Yeah. Who was he talking about? He was talking about...
he was talking about Marcus Rashford.
Marcus Rashford.
He'd never scored as a sub.
Oh, yeah, it was... So he has scored from the bench.
He has scored from the bench now, Brian.
Right, it does sound like Brian. Maybe that is Clive's nickname.
I'm going to have to ask Clive.
Quite an old school nickname, wouldn't it, Brian?
Clive, if you're listening, let us know. If not, I'll send you an email.
We'll ask Jim Rosenthal. He'll know if people call Clive Tilsley Brian. That was courtesy of I. Well, he'll know, won't he? He's coming in soon.
He won't know that.
Coming in soon. so that's courtesy, of course, of ITV.
You mentioned David Attenborough there.
Well, I didn't. You did, but... You know.
No, you did. You mentioned him about something. I can't remember why, but I was going
to... I've got animal news for you in a minute before
we
go.
Oh, yeah, OK. Well, very briefly after, you know, just basically, I was surprised to see him say that he's... well, not that he's given up red meat, but he said, I don't eat meat, but I'm not a strict vegetarian. I eat fish. So I was thinking... When you're watching The Blue Planet, is that like dinner? What's he looking at? Probably not.
Probably not, Andy. I wouldn't think so. You notice this happened in Lake Tahoe. You ever been to Lake Tahoe? Lovely place.
I haven't been to
nice.
Lake Tahoe.
Ski there. You can do it in the summer. It's a very nice place. I recommend it.
Is it in Nevada?
Yes, it's California. It's on the borders, right on the border of California and Nevada. A black bear opened a Subaru's rear door and climbed inside on a family drive.
A Subaru, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Did I say Subaru?
Yeah.
Oh, I do apologise. Anyway, jumped into a car.
Yeah.
A black bear, I mean, it doesn't really matter what model it was. A black bear jumped into the rear of a car while a family were in it.
Good Lord.
But I was saying, it must have thought it was a cab. Because, well, you don't, it must have been a cab.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. You're going to say Uber or am I?
You can.
Yeah, okay. But he's probably all in a cab and he just got in the back.
Yeah.
He said, oh, sorry, mate, I didn't, I thought it was me cab. Yeah, okay.
It's quite odd that the thing could, you know, the bear could actually open the door and get in.
I'm surprised. They normally rip them off, don't they? Rip the old door off. That's what they do in places.
Were the family
like
all right?
Yellowstone. I think so, yeah. I think they saw the funny side. They'd stop screaming.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will return tomorrow from 1, won't we?
Yeah. Right. Have you noticed the producer's gone?
Yeah, I don't know where he's gone. He's just kind of left the machines running. We could say anything now. He might not. We could swear. We could libel him. We could say all sorts of appalling things about the fella. Oh, he's wandering back in now. So, yeah. That's why we hate him and we think he should be sacked. Oh, he's coming back. Now, that's it. He's back now. So, we'll see you tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.